I do not know whether you already have read the scripture before the service, but if you haven't, I was struck by this second stanza. How blessed a man thou callest and bringest near to thee. And I would say to the children and young people, as we read the scripture, think of that line. See if you come across somebody who is called that way. How blessed the man thou callest and bringest near to thee. Our scripture reading is from Genesis 19, the first 29 verses. Genesis 19, the first 29 verses. And then from Romans 10, verses 14 to 17. Romans 10, verses 14 to 17. First on Genesis 19 at verse 1. Hear the word of God. Now Abraham has had a visit of three men, and one of them is the Lord God. And from there, the two angels go to Sodom. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face to the ground. And he said, "Hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way." And they said, "No, but we will spend the night in the open square." But he insisted strongly, so they turned into him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now before they lay down, the man of the city, the man of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter around surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them carnally." So Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind him, and said, "Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof." And they said, "Stand back." Then they said, "This one came in to sojourn, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them." And so they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to break down the door. But the man reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door, and they struck the man who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. Then the man said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here, son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomsoever you have in the city, take them out of this place. For we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters and said, "Get up and get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he lingered, the man took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass, when they had brought them outside, that he said, "Escape for your life, do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." Then Lot said to them, "Please know, my lords, indeed now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And he said to him, "See, I have favored you concerning this thing also, in that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." And therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of heaven. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord, and then he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain, and he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land, which went up like the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. Then we go to Romans 10, verse 14. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things.' But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our report?' And so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Here ends the reading of Scripture. Our text is verse 15, especially the last part. "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." Here ends the reading of Scripture. Blessed are those who not only hear the word of God, but also keep it. Hallelujah. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, most people are familiar with the story of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we also know where those cities were approximately located, namely in what is now known as Israel, and the area which is now called that of the Dead Sea. But what most people are not aware of is that the destruction of those cities is really also a foreshadowing of the last judgment of the day of the Lord. For we are told that the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. He overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. It's very interesting. It's not just people, it's also crops, plants, trees. It makes us think of what Peter writes in the second letter about the coming of day of God, because of which the heavens will be kindled and dissolved and the elements will melt with fire. And when we then consider that the two angels which went to see Lot in Sodom are two of the three men who came to visit Abraham, then we receive an even wider perspective. For we know that one of the three who visited Abraham was the Lord, Abraham's covenant God. And we're also told that these three men spoke together with one message. Like in chapter 18, verse 5, we read, "So they said, do as you have said." And in verse 9, "they said to Abraham, where is Sarah, your wife?" It wasn't God the Father who spoke and said, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" They said. They spoke with one voice. And it is therefore that many interpreters have come to think that these three who visited Abraham were the Holy Trinity. And Eastern Orthodox churches have icons in which the three visitors to Abraham are portrayed as the Trinity. And we have furthermore the word of the Lord that he himself is going down to see whether Sodom and Gomorrah have indeed done those things which the Lord has been told. And when therefore chapter 19 begins by saying, "The two angels came to Sodom in the evening," then Scripture does not speak just of any two angels, but of the two angels. God the Father apparently has stayed behind, but the other two who also met with Abraham continued on to Sodom, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And what we have here then is that the wrath of God is about to come upon Sodom and Gomorrah, upon the whole valley. These two angels have now come to warn Lot and his family. They have come to save a close relative of God's friend Abraham, and therefore also that man's house, his family. And in that sense, the saving mission of these two to Sodom is a foreshadowing also of the birth of the Son of God from Mary and the coming of Emmanuel to this world, and also a foreshadowing of the coming of the Holy Spirit in all his fullness at Pentecost. For it is God the Son who becomes flesh to save the children God has given him. And it is the Holy Spirit who comes to convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. For when the Savior and the Holy Spirit come to earth, they come to a people walking in great darkness. They come to a world lost in sin. And it is this Savior to whom we are to flee in order to escape the wrath to come, as the Scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 1:10. And it is through the work of the Holy Spirit that we hear the message of salvation and we pay attention to the warning. Now, when the two angels come to Sodom, they come for sure to a people walking in darkness. And it is in this light that we discover that the good news in Scripture always is surrounded by bad news. For the coming of the two angels to Sodom is good news for Lot and for all those who will listen to the message of the angels. Good news comes to Lot and company because of the bad news about Sodom. And thus the good news of the gospel today also means at the same time a word of judgment of this world to this world. And so we consider first of all that good news is also bad news. Salvation, we are told, is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Indeed, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But people have to hear Christ before they can believe in him. But how are they to hear without a preacher? And how can man preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. Now, it cannot be denied that the two angels who came to Sodom also came with a message of salvation. In the midst of judgment, an escape was to be provided for all who believed. In the midst of wrath, there was grace. And thus we may say that the two angels came with good news. And thus we may also say of their feet that they were beautiful feet. For these two were also sent to save. They were sent to save all who would believe. For the mind of the Lord was made clear to Lot. And Lot was told to warn all those who belonged to his family. There's a difference of opinion of how many children Lot actually did have. The two angels in verse 12 speak even about sons and daughters besides sons-in-law. Then in verse 14, the translations differ. Some say that Lot went to his sons-in-law who were engaged to be married to his daughters, and others read that Lot went to his sons-in-law who already were married to his daughters and that Lot still had two more daughters at home. Well, whatever the case, Lot definitely went out and he talked to the people of the city during the night. And what did Lot tell them? Up, get out of this place, for the Lord is about to destroy the city. So Lot did not mince words. He made it clear that their very lives were at stake. And as he talked to his sons-in-law, we can be sure that it spread quickly through that little town or city. But his sons-in-law thought it was all a big joke. They thought the old man was kidding. And knowing the way people react, you can be sure that they passed these words on with great hilarity. For the city was probably wide awake after all that had happened in front of Lot's house. And there was already great anger directed at Lot. For the people had said, well, this fellow came to sojourn and he would play the judge. Now we will deal worse with you, Lot, than with your two visitors. Now the warning of Lot was not taken serious. But whoever would have believed and would have left the city would have been saved by their faith in God's word. They would have been saved. The good news was there for the believing. The two angels brought good tidings of great joy. But they also brought this good news in the midst of an environment which was about to be destroyed by the wrath of God. And that was the bad news. The good news of salvation always carries with it the flip side of the bad news of the situation people are in. Grace always presupposes destruction, condemnation, together with the impossibility of saving yourself. Why send salvation unless destruction threatens? Why send a Savior unless people are in danger of being lost? But the sons-in-law of Lot thought he was kidding, that it was a big joke. And so did the rest of the town. It is the same situation which we find today and has ever been since the Lord Jesus Christ came preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As Lot was rejected by his own city, so in a much greater and deeper sense, the Lord Jesus Christ came to what belonged to him, and his own people did not receive him. They did not believe him. As a matter of fact, his own people became angry at him and tried to kill him. It was of him that Isaiah wrote when he spoke of the beautiful feet of those bearing good news. And yet many in Christ's day saw nothing beautiful in it. They felt judged and condemned by the good news which the Son of God on earth brought. And the same remains true today. The good news cannot help but make clear at the same time that the salvation proclaimed is salvation from the judgment upon a world in rebellion against its Creator. The good news of today in Christ makes it very clear that the Lord God cannot and he will not accept the world as it lives and behaves. The good news makes it clear that judgment cannot be avoided and that the whole world will be condemned. But that message is not acceptable. Those who make that clear are said to be judging. And has not Christ himself said, "Judge not that ye be not judged"? And so the world rejects the bad news, which is the flip side of the gospel. And it is for that reason that many churches soft pedal the matter of the bad news. For the bad news will turn away prospective members. And therefore, all that is mentioned is salvation. The gospel is now presented as an extra dimension of life. Faith in Christ is now said to lead to a fuller life than one otherwise would have. The bad news of judgment is soft-pedaled. It's not to be heard. And when it is presented anyway, then people become angry. A number of people want to do the extra dimension of the Christian faith. They want that extra dimension, but they do not want to be told what this involves. They do not want to hear about the bad side, about judgment, about wrath. They only want to hear the good and the pleasant side. Do not play the other side of the gospel record. It means that the bad news has to be suppressed. And when it is presented anyway, it is either laughed away or angrily rejected. And that leads us to the second point. The good news requires a response. It was impossible for Lot to believe the good news of salvation and yet stay where he was. And yet that is apparently exactly what he wanted to do very much. The two angels twice tried to get Lot to take action. First, they urged him to get all his family together and to bring them out of the place, for we are about to destroy this place. That sends Lot on his journey into the city in the middle of the night to try to persuade his unbelieving sons-in-law. But when this is unsuccessful, Lot does not take his two daughters and his wife and leave. He does not pack a few things on some donkeys. No, when morning dawns, the angels have to urge Lot once again, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And what is Lot's response? It says, "But he lingered." And finally, when it is clear that Lot is not going to move himself, the angels grab Lot and his wife and his two daughters by the hand and pull them out of the city. It's a further act of mercy by the Lord God. It is clear that Lot is unable to come up with the necessary resoluteness to make himself and his family move. For some reason, he cannot bring himself to move out of the city. He cannot bring himself to move away from the place of judgment. Today we would say that Lot could not pull himself away from this world. He endangers himself and his family by lingering. He knows that he must go. He knows that destruction is at hand. He knows that he must flee from the wrath to come. But for some reason, he cannot get moving. And this makes it very clear that we humans do not have the inner strength to tear ourselves away from the world and this life. If God the Father does not draw a person, that person will perish in spite of having heard the good news. It is then that the angels take action. Or should we say, it is then that God, the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit take action. And the action is described as the Lord being merciful to him. What is the matter with Lot? Lot here is an example of a man whose work is going to be completely burned up, but who himself will be saved, but as Scripture says, only as through fire. It is a fact that Lot was very much aware of the corruption in Sodom. We're told that he was vexed in his righteous soul, day after day, with the lawless deeds of those people, and yet he stayed there. We know why he moved there in the first place. By choice, Adam and Lot had too much livestock to stay together. Adam considered it wiser if they would each go their own way, and he gave his nephew Lot first choice. And we read, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere like the garden of the Lord. So Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley." But already at that time, it was known that the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. Lot, therefore, chose material well-being in spite of a wicked environment. Lot opted for earthly prosperity even if it meant being immersed in an anti-Christian community. At the time of choosing, Lot was still living in tents like Abraham, but when we meet him again, he is moved into Sodom, into a house. May we conclude from all this that Lot was not one of the stronger believers? What choices do we make when it comes to choosing between good economic circumstances amidst a faith-undermining environment and a faith-supportive environment with an uncertain economic prospect? It is clear that Lot remained a believer. But he had no problem, apparently, that his daughters would marry such wicked men. The lack of strength of his faith showed when he had to leave all that he had worked for. Even after the second warning of the angels, Lot still lingered. He and his family were literally pulled out of the judgment by the Lord himself. But see what becomes of him and his family. His wife lacks the faith to obey and perishes in the judgment. Lot himself becomes controlled by fear and begins to live in a cave. His daughters get themselves pregnant by incest. No strong faith life here. No strength to faith daily life by trust in the Lord. And all that in spite of the good news of salvation brought by the two angels. There is no response by Lot to the good news. The Lord God gave Lot another opportunity, but there was no response. But the good news of salvation requires response. When our God established his covenant with his people, he gave the promise of salvation and at the same time demanded the trust of faith. The good news today is the promise of eternal life and the call to live accordingly. After the Apostle Paul in his letter and to the Romans has set forth the condition of people set apart from Christ, followed by an extensive section of the way of salvation, he begins the third section of his letter by saying, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Today, of course, we do not have to move into Sodom. It's in many ways all around us, even in a way in our homes through the electronic and print media, and the temptation is very great to live comfortably amidst a society that is falling ever farther into ungodly lawlessness. It is said that Lot was bothered by the wicked things which he saw happening in Sodom, and so it is also often true that believers today will shake their head and wonder out loud, what is to become of this world? But do we take action? Do we separate ourselves from it? Do we continue to live in the comfort of this world, unwilling to pay the price for a life transformed by trust in the Word of God? It is clear that the world will not bother a believer as long as the believer says nothing to the world about its behavior. Lot had a position on city council, when the two angels arrived, he was somewhat accepted in the community. He was allowed to participate in community affairs. And no doubt, Lot must have tried here and there to at least hold back some of the excesses. But when Lot tried to protect his two visitors and called the lusts of the males of Sodom wicked, he was immediately rejected as that fellow who came to live among us and now wants to judge our behavior. The believer is allowed by the world to live in its midst as long as he doesn't speak out against the world. The believer is allowed to participate in the affairs of the community as long as he does not apply God's standards. But the moment he does that, a mighty roar goes up. But the good news has as its flip side always the bad news about the world. And the good news always demands response. Also today. Also when it results in rejection by the community. It's striking that today is the International Day of Prayer for the persecuted church. If Lot had any more children, they stayed behind in Sodom and were destroyed. To refuse to openly make a choice in this society results irrevocably in the loss of family. And what fruit did the rest of his family bear for God? And yet does not our Savior say, "By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples"? The command, therefore, is clear. When we hear the message of salvation, when the good news reaches our ears, we dare not linger like Lot did. We dare not risk our wife, our husband, and definitely not our children. When the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit come to us with the message of salvation, we must respond with trust of faith. And that brings us very briefly to the third point. The good news demands separation. And after all that has been said, that is no surprise. And yet even when the two angels had brought Lot and his wife and two daughters by force out of the city, the separation still was not complete. They were warned not to look back. It would mean that their thoughts were still in Sodom. We do not know why Lot's wife did look back. Did she have good friends there? Did she indeed leave other children behind? Did she find it hard to leave their no doubt comfortable lifestyle? Whatever it was, she was not willing to let go completely. The Lord Jesus underlines this matter of not looking back. In Luke 17, he warns to remember Lot's wife when the Son of Man is revealed. And in Luke 9:32, the Lord Savior declares, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." And the Apostle Paul writes that he forgets what lies behind him while he strains forward to what lies ahead, pressing on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Separation from the world is a must for those who have heard the good news. And in order to make the reasons for that separation clear, it is necessary that the flip side of the good news also be clearly set forth. The bad news about this world lost in sin. And it should give us much to think about that those who hear the good news, yes, who are even forcibly removed from Sodom, may still perish by looking back, by refusing to make a clean break with the world. But those who make a clean break will rejoice in the Lord their God, and they will have abundance of life. Through that life will likely be totally different than it was before they responded to the good news, before they separated in the obedience of faith. But it will be a great life. It will be a holy life. For it will be the Lord Jesus Christ who now lives in them through the Holy Spirit. We should be grateful every day that God the Father still sends His Son with and through the Holy Spirit as the Word is preached every day, and that as an act of mercy, He still takes people by the hand when they linger in order to bring them out of Sodom. We must also be thankful that through prayer we may ask continually for His grace and the Holy Spirit, that we may live a life without fear in holiness to the glory of God and to our own joy. Good news, bad news. The more we come to realize the truth and the impact of the bad news, the more we realize the amazing grace of the good news. But then also the amazing grace of the Lord to take people like Lot by the hand and draw them with irresistible grace to Himself. Do you know yourself more or less related to Lot? Glory to God alone. May He grant us the gift of never looking back, only ahead, in full confidence that He will bring us home. Amen. Now go in peace, bearing the blessing of the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.